Hey, everybody, it's Ryan Ripley. Wanted to get a new offering in front of you as soon as possible, evidence-based leadership. And so as you all know, Todd Miller, myself, and Will Seeley, we're big on evidence-based management. We want to apply it to the leadership space. We all know that modern managers face complex challenges every day. You're juggling a lot of needs, your direct reports, your stakeholders, your customers, they all need constant attention. What we want to do is help you manage that. We want you to use information and data to make good decisions around all of these areas so that we're delivering the right thing at the right time for the right customer. And we know that we're doing that because we're using data and evidence to validate all the things that we're doing. And not only that, we're not just looking at value, but we're looking at our capabilities as an organization. Can we deliver on time? Can we innovate effectively? Do we have too much tech debt? Do we have too many things in process? Are we unable to deliver when the market demands that we do? We look at all of these things with evidence-based management. We merge that into a leadership mindset and lens, and we enable you to make new and better decisions repeatedly based off of the data that you're collecting within your organization. It's exciting stuff. We hope you can join us. Visit agileforhumans.com/EBL course. Join us in one of these offerings. We think you're going to love it. Hope you can join us. Use Agile for Humans, the number 4, to take another 15% off of this course, and we can't wait to see you there.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer. All lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey, it's another day. It's another episode of Your Daily Scrum. Todd has managed to pull me away from the beach just long enough to record.
Todd wants to go to the beach.
Yeah. So we are back. It's another episode. Todd, let's get right into it. They know the, you know the drill. Like and subscribe. Check out the description. Leave us your comments. Enough of all that stuff. We won't be cool YouTubers today. Let's jump into it. Top 10 rewind. What does a Scrum Master do during sprint planning? Todd, this was a pretty popular episode as well, wasn't it?
It was a pretty popular episode. Data on it. Okay, so we released this episode in May 5th of 2021. So just about a month and a year ago. Yeah. It had just about 8,000 views, 12 comments, and 216 likes.
It's a pretty popular show. I'm trying to recall some of the things. I'm sure we talked about some of the mechanics.
Mm-hmm. We did. We talked about the three topics in Scrum Guide 2020, the why, the what, and the how. We talked about that.
Can I give a different take? Yeah. I shouldn't say different. I want to be additive. Mm-hmm. I think over the last year, Todd and I think we've talked about this a little bit. We work on a Scrum team. Mm-hmm. And Todd has been a Scrum Master on that Scrum team. I've always been a developer. When I think about what a Scrum Master does during sprint planning, Todd's actually, his behavior as a Scrum Master on this team has shifted my thinking here a bit. Something that he does that's wildly useful. I think Todd's really good at kind of putting a positive pressure on a product owner, right? I think he's really good at saying, hey, is your product backlog, is this really what you want to show these developers who are going to go nuts if they don't understand the work? Is the product goal clear? Do you have an idea of a sprint goal that leads to your product goal? Like really making sure that our product owner is in the best possible shape, product backlog, product vision, product goal wise, so that when we get into sprint planning, it's just not a total like beatdown, right? Where the developer's like, well, I don't understand this. And how does this work? And why'd you make this? Like all that stuff. If we can just push that aside through being really super disciplined as a Scrum Master on working with our product owner, being a good partner and making sure that that artifact, the product backlog, is in great shape. I think that goes, Todd, I think that eliminates a lot of the other problems that we see in sprint planning.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because the simple question of saying, is this going to contribute towards us achieving our product goal, squashes when people say no. And then, okay. It doesn't, then we're not going to, then we probably should talk about something else because we don't have a sprint goal yet. And if that is not going to contribute towards accomplishing the product goal, maybe it comes into the sprint, but let's not talk about that right now.
Yeah.
Let's figure out what our sprint goal is and the PBIs that relate to it that are going to contribute to our product goal. I found that to be a pretty interesting tactic. And actually, it helps to squash conflict, too, because I feel like another additive thing that I was going to mention to this, because all the stuff you said is the sprint planning is ugly without that stuff. Oh, my goodness. But sprint planning can get ugly if there's a lot of conflict. So I sometimes feel like as a scrum master, conflict resolution during sprint planning is vital, even if it's like, let's take five or trying to get people to see both sides of an argument.
You know, I have something else that you did really well at various points of this team and past teams is reminding developers that they're not stakeholders. Mm-hmm. Like when you see developers really trying to get into the weeds on a decision or to set policy or to start shifting things in certain directions, I think a scrum master has to have that discipline to say, now, wait a minute, product owner has made this decision. Why are you changing it? Right. Mm-hmm. You're not a decision maker. You are here to decide how best to implement what's been decided on, not to actually decide what's being implemented. And there's a fine line there, right?
Yeah, there absolutely is, especially if like you're working on a team where it can feel as if the developer is a receiver of what you're building, but you have to abstract that from yourself and you have to look at the picture holistically rather than your one single single use case. Let's say, did I say use case?
Sure. So I think that's so what I think we're shifting what we're adding to. I think the first time around we talked about a lot of the mechanics, mm-hmm. The why, the what, and the how, the kind of the aspects of the event. I think now we're really moving into group dynamics and mm-hmm. and proper facilitation, but also proper partnership with the product owner. And so I think that is really good additive stuff there. Those are the biggest lessons I think I've learned in the past year. I think you have too. Anything mm-hmm. else you would add there?
The only thing else I would have is really, and I think it's additive and builds on top of that, is just monitoring and paying attention to the communication between the product owner and the developers.
Yeah.
Right. That's something very sensitively watch and sometimes just let it go enough to reel it back in. Right. I find that is a really good tactic, but making sure that communication is very clear. And if it's not, that's a really important thing for us to figure out through refinement in the next sprint, because it all relates back to if it's unclear, then the product backlog is probably unclear. And if the product backlog is unclear when you enter sprint planning, at least the top part of the product backlog, you could be in for a world of pain. So that might might trigger me to take a note to say we need to address some things or maybe refine a little bit more this next sprint, because there is just so many questions about clarity that it's unaccomplishable in this event. Now we just have to slog through it, but we can take some steps in the next sprint to kind of mitigate that from happening again.
Yep. I like it. All right. End screen time. Be sure to like and subscribe. Let us know what you think. What have you learned in the last year about being what a scrum master does during sprint planning? Perhaps we've missed something. Let us know in the comments. Ask us questions as well. Questions will turn into videos. Check out our socials, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter are pretty lit. Instagram, I don't know. We'll work on it. Videos are going to pop up. It's our free Scrum Framework course and our free EBM course. You got to check those out. Go get certified. Take care of your leveling up for the year. Two great ways to do it. Some merch is going to pop up as well. Grab a hoodie. That's 100 degrees out. Grab a t-shirt and represent the brand. Get the Squirrel Burger. Get the Agile for Humans. Grab the burn down chart. Some really cool stuff out there. Check it out. But hey, I'm going back to the beach. So for Todd, I'm Ryan. Go forward. Have some great Scrum conversations. Be disciplined enough to do what's needed in sprint planning, my dear Scrum Masters. Don't hold back because, hey, that event, if it doesn't go well, the rest of the sprint is really set up poorly. So be sure to take some of these ideas to heart. Go forward. Do some great Scrum things. I'm hitting the beach. We'll see you tomorrow. Hey, it's Ryan. If you're enjoying this show and want to take a deeper dive into Scrum with me and Todd, check out agileforhumans.com/training. Be sure to also look at the show notes to subscribe to our newsletter, get a copy of our book, Fixing Your Scrum, and learn more about working with us at Agile for Humans. Thanks for listening, and Scrum on!